You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on to the other side.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here in Phoenix, Arizona, 1480 AM. KPHX. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and Trisha. And this is The Doors, by the way.
Absolutely. I remember our guest earlier, Frasier, said that The Doors was used in a film of his, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a horror type film to great effect. This is Break On Through.
To the Other Side.
Yeah, it should be a theme song.
I don't think that's in the title, though.
No, it isn't. But it should be a theme song for Breakthrough Entertainment or Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network.
Absolutely.
Deliver Us From Evil, movie starring Eric Bana and Joel McHale, my personal friends and Frozen's friends as well.
Who made fun of you for 10 minutes straight.
Yes, they made fun of me for 10 minutes straight. You can hear it on BreakRadioShow.com. Click on Archives. The Doors are used to great horrific effect in the film.
Excellent. And that's a great song. We've to play it in a band I was in long ago.
You played the
Break On.
What did you play, Dave? The guitar?
Guitar.
No, do you still play?
No. Not really. I was thinking of taking it up again, though.
What about our next guest?
Should
play guitar?
Yeah, we should
nice
get someone.
Nice segue.
Yeah, we should get someone to teach Dave.
That's right. And speaking of a phenomenal musician, a conductor, musical director, Vincent Falcone, 10 years with Frank Sinatra. Vincent, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. And, of course, you met myself and Trisha last Friday, actually, a week ago last Friday, at the great show that you do, Frank the Man, the Music, starring Bob Anderson. You have a 32-piece orchestra, Vincent. We just love that show. You've been doing it for how long now with Bob?
Since the 24th of January.
And this is celebrating the 100 years that Frank would have been alive if he was still alive. That's
he would have been 100 years old on the 12th of December of this
year. Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible. Tell us what it was like. I mean Frank Sinatra, just a legend. There's no question the talent he had, the impact he made not only in the entertainment industry but the culture itself. Tell us a little bit about your experiences with Frank Sinatra.
Well, he was 9 months older than my father. So I treated him as a father figure. Never called him Frank. Was always Mr. Sinatra. He was a unique man in many ways. He was a conservative man. He was a patriot for this country. He loved the United States. He spoke of it much in his monologues, praised our country and tried to inspire people. As an artist, he was a perfectionist. And he insisted on being the best you could be at all times. And he instilled that in me. I had a wonderful relationship over the years that I was with him.
I mean, that's such a blessing. I mean, to be his musical director, one of the truly probably one of the greats ever in entertainment is just. I mean, when you look back on that, do you sort of pinch yourself and say, "Wow, how did this happen?"
you hit upon it. I see videos of myself with him that, they're on YouTube and they're all over the place. And I look at it and say, who is that guy?
Yeah. But let me ask you, and we'll get back to your career with him. However, this show with Bob Anderson, Bob is amazing. Does this take you back when you do these shows at the Venetian with Bob Anderson and of course your orchestra? Does it bring back great memories?
Well, it does in many ways. Bob is an extremely talented man. I mean, it's my knowledge, and I know most of what's going on around the country and around the world in terms of Sinatra impersonators. He is the only artist that I know, the only singer that I know that has the vocal acuity to be able to reproduce to some degree Mr. Sinatra. And the greatness of being able to do this show is that we're not a Rat Pack show. This is a tribute not only to Mr. Sinatra, but to the music that he espoused, the Great American Songbook. And I have consummate musicians in the orchestra, many of whom worked with me with Sinatra in those years. And to be able to do this is an answer to a desire that he had. He told me many times that he wanted this music perpetuated and that I was to do anything that I could to continue to do so. His son does the same thing. Frank Jr. is out there perpetuating this music as well in a very eloquent style. Frank Jr. is a wonderful singer. And we're trying to make the youth of this country aware of the sophistication of the art, which is lacking in most of what goes on today. In most music today, there's very little sophistication and integrity.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Falcone, when I was, you know, studying up on this, and I think that you touched upon it when we were speaking to you after the show, actually during the show, it was alluded to as well, that the music that you guys, the literal sheet music that you guys were using, had been handed to you in person from Mr. Sinatra.
Yeah, he gave me anything that I wanted because he knew that after I left Mr. Sinatra, I had the great privilege of being music director for many of the great singers of our country, Tony Bennett, Jack Jones, Stephen Eady, et cetera, et cetera. And Mr. Sinatra was very generous with the music. He gave Stephen Eady a number of his arrangements. He gave Jerry Vale a number of his arrangements. He gave me great number of his arrangements because he wanted this music continued. He wanted it perpetuated. One of his desires that he said to me in when I was with him was that when he felt he was no longer capable of performing on stage, he was going to take me and we were going to go to the major music schools around the country and give classes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, his health didn't permit that as he got older. It would have been a great thing. So I do that when I can. I do concerts and clinics at universities when they invite me to come, and I bring the music. And he gave me that music for this particular purpose, keep the music alive and to educate the youth and the great young musicians that are coming up as to what this great music is.
Most definitely. Now, you actually have a book that's going to be coming out just 2 days before Mr. Sinatra's centennial birth date.
I don't know where you got that information. My book came out 6 years ago.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's called Frankly, Just Between Us.
Yes, but for some reason I thought, okay, but it was on December 10th, so it was 2 days before his birthday.
What was on December 10th?
Wasn't that the release date of your book?
My book came out 6 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know how I missed that. I apologize.
No, not at all. I mean, I appreciate your mentioning it. No, I wrote the book several years ago. It's called Frankly, Just Between Us. And it's the story of my how I got to be with him, all the years that I was with him. And then it follows that because of the exposure that he gave me, I was able to then move on and work with some of the other great singers and great musicians in our country.
Now, where can people get the book? Is it still out there to buy?
Yeah, Amazon.com has it. It's called Frankly, Just Between Us. It's published by Hal Leonard, and you can get it on Amazon.
That must be a tremendous book. I mean, it's really about your life conducting Frank Sinatra's music, right?
Exactly. And then, of course, going on with the other artists with whom I had the privilege and pleasure to work with, based upon the fact that he gave me the exposure that allowed me to be known by these people, and he gave me a career I could have never had without having been with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a blessing. And he also gave you something else, I believe. I'm going to see if this is correct. Didn't he give you a nickname, Vinny?
Yes, yeah.
Tell us about that. How did that come up?
Well, Vinny is the Italian nickname for Vincent, you know. And he, no one ever called me that. I was Vince, and then when I was with him, he started referring to me as Vinny, and that stuck, and that's how everybody knows me now, and I'm very proud that he gave me that.
That is very, very, very cool. Now, you probably obviously met other members that Frank, you know, the Rat Pack, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin.
I knew them all.
Yeah, and that must have been amazing. I know your show now with Bob Anderson is not about the Rat Pack, but tell us about that just took off, didn't it? It was just, I think they were filming Ocean's 11 or something, and it just was an improv, and these Dean Martin, Sammy Davis, Frank got together. Is that how that happened?
You know, that was before my time with him. I mean, my knowledge of how that happened is probably the same as yours.
Yeah.
But he did tell me that that concept, you know, all of his friends, all of his actor friends were in that movie. That movie has been, they have tried to make sequels to it, and I've seen a couple of them, and of course, they're nothing like the original.
Right.
You cannot reproduce a classic, in my view, and that is a classic. I knew Sammy. Sammy was a wonderful, Sammy may have been, in my humble opinion, the all-around greatest entertainer that we've ever had. I mean, he could do everything, dance, sing, act. He was an incredible artist. Dean was another incredible personality, a wonderful guy, a friendly, lovely man. And his daughter, Dina, and I are very good friends. As a matter of fact, I have music directed for her. And the three of them together were magic.
Yeah, it was a little bit of before my time, believe it or not. And but I caught the tail end of Frank Sinatra. But it was just, I mean, Dean Martin too. I mean, like you said, his voice was just a unique style.
He was a fine singer.
He was an excellent
singer. But he was such a personality. The Dean Martin Variety Hour that he had for years on TV was incredible, and the roasts. That he participated
yeah.
in.
You know, funny.
You can't reproduce those things. He was amazing,
incredible.
Now, yeah. Now one of the things that I understand you have said before, and I think that Bob mentioned it after the show too, was how in Vegas the shows have changed so much. There are these huge productions, but there's just not that interaction, and I think the term you used was intimacy between the performer and the audience. That's kind of gone by the wayside.
Yes, it has. In the days when I was with Mr. Sinatra at Caesar's Palace, you noticed when you were at the show that we have a group of tables up very close to the
yeah.
stage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the old days, they had long tables that were up close to the stage, and then at Caesar's Palace in the Circus Maximus showroom, there were booths so that it wasn't theater seating. Theater seating has a tendency, in my view, to distance the audience from the stage. The other kind of seating where people feel like they're in your living room, it's that seems to be gone. And there are a few showrooms that still have that kind of seating, but most have theater seating now, and most of them are like the Coliseum. You get too far away from the stage when you. This is just my opinion, but the intimacy that was created in those days was that when Mr. Sinatra was on stage, everybody felt that he was singing to them personally, and the atmosphere was able to encourage that.
And I think Bob and you and all of the performers in the show do a great job of bringing us into that era and that time. There's that one vignette where you guys are reenacting a time in a recording studio that I just thought was so dramatically incredible.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was a voyeur. I was a fly on the wall seeing this happen. It was so real to me. It was phenomenal. I think that was excellent. Now,
I'm so happy that you feel that way, because that's what we wanted to do with it. And that is very much like what really did happen in a recording studio. We had a lot of fun in recording studios. When I was in there with him, he would joke with the musicians. He became part of the family. He wasn't the king, you know, or he was just one of us, and it was a wonderful atmosphere.
Now, this show, Frank, has been so popular that it's been held over indefinitely in Vegas, from what I understand.
Yes, yeah, so far it has. To me, the most wonderful thing about it, aside from the fact that I'm doing the great music, is that the audiences become enraptured, and at the end of the show, I mean, they're on their feet. They're yelling and screaming, and it doesn't matter what the age group is. We get young people who get caught up. We have never had a negative comment about the show, and that's very rewarding.
Well, and it is, you do, because you feel like you become a part of it. People behind us, around us, we're joining in and singing, and just really were brought into the whole feeling of the show. And I also heard there's rumors that the show might be going to Broadway eventually here.
Well, we certainly hope that is the case. I mean, that's a dream. It is being worked on, and there are people who have expressed interest in it that are influential. And we hope that eventually that could happen. I think it would be very successful.
Oh, yeah, it certainly would be. And we sort of hope, you know, I sort of miss the old Vegas. I mean, I think, you know, guys like, remember Red Fox, Vic Damone, Don Rickles in the lounges. And
I was Don Rickles' music director until this show opened. I had to leave him to do this show.
Oh, wow.
Red Fox, I knew. I knew all of those people. I came to Las Vegas in 1970. That's 45 years ago.
The golden age.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. That.
Well, and things were different then. I think I read something about a six-month rule that if you were a musician or an artist coming to Vegas, that you couldn't perform regularly.
Yes.
For like 3 months, you couldn't do anything. And then
That's
the
right.
second 3 months, you could just do like little shows here and there.
Exactly. That was a rule to protect the musicians that already lived in Las Vegas, and it was it made sense. And when I first came here, you're right, for 3 months you have to sign in every week at the union. For 3 months you couldn't do anything, and the second 3 months all you could do was casual work. And so I had to find other ways to make money during those periods. But then, it all worked out. Everything. Everything worked. I got my first job in the lounge of the Thunderbird, which, of course, is no longer in Las Vegas. It's gone now. It was a very interesting city because, first of all, when I moved to Las Vegas, the entire population of the state of Nevada was less than 500,000 people. And now we have almost 2 million people in Las Vegas alone. So you could drive to L.A. and almost never pass a car. So it was a lot different in those days, and there were far fewer hotels, and everybody knew everybody. It was a whole different atmosphere, and the greatest stars in the world appeared in every hotel. You had an amazing act that was what we call a cabaret act. In every hotel, it was a totally different atmosphere.
Well, we certainly hope what you're doing, you know, with Bob Anderson, and of course your great orchestra and yourself, brings back sort of the golden age to Las Vegas. We hope. I know Donnie and Marie, they're trying to bring that back too. They've been at the Flamingo for a while, and they have that sort of intimate atmosphere. And do you think it ever will? I mean, do you think somehow it will come back to the great music?
I don't think that our era will come back because, you know, if you study history, you see that one era follows another. But we still listen to Beethoven. We still listen to Bach. We still listen to Schumann. And hopefully in 50 years, people will still be listening to Sinatra and so forth. So it becomes classical music. And, I'm hoping for is that for the rest of my life I'm able to continue to keep this music going.
Well, you know, I this was before my time when Frank and all of the golden age was happening, but I will tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed this show, and I think in this day and age of technology and people's voices being changed when they come into concert and they're lip syncing, or you know, people's mics go a little wonky and all of a sudden you hear, you know, that they're not as perfect as they may sound. It really, the clarity of Bob's voice, and I understand it's you know, sounds so much like Frank's did, and the music of the live orchestra and you there conducting it, the whole thing is just so beautiful that I think true music lovers and anyone who really appreciates artistry will love this show.
I thank you for that because we've experienced a great audience response, and it's lovely to hear you say that because that's what we're trying to do. You're absolutely right about what you just said because, as an example, when Mr. Sinatra recorded, as not only he but the other great singers, when they recorded Stephen Eady and Tony Bennett Maya, there are no overdubs. If a mistake is made, you stop, start over again at the top. When you hear a recording of Frank Sinatra or Tony Bennett or Stephen Eady or those people, you're hearing them the way you would hear them on stage. There's no fabrication. There's no change. There's no fixing this or fixing that. Everything is done live. And when I recorded with him, I was on the podium in front of the orchestra. He was standing right in front of me, and everything was live. And there were if a mistake was made, and we all make them from time to time, we stopped. We started over again. But it was a completed project. And when you heard it, you heard exactly the same thing as you're going to hear when you see him on stage.
And I think there are artists now like Lady Gaga who really appreciate this. I mean, you know, she's there rubbing shoulders with Tony Bennett and, you know, so many wonderful artists. And I'm hoping that maybe there will be more artists like her that do appreciate it, show that appreciation, and maybe
spread the word as well. They're out there, but they're not known to a great extent. I mean, Diana Krall, of course, is wonderful. Harry Connick Jr., incredibly guy. They're out there. It's just that what's called popular music today has, in my opinion, degenerated, and instead of appealing to the highest common denominator, appeals to the lowest common denominator.
Well, we encourage everyone to get out there and just experience Frank the Man, the music, starring Bob Anderson, of course, Vincent Falcone, the musical director, the conductor, great orchestra that you have. And Vincent, we so much thank you for being on today. We'd like to stay in touch, and we will push the show because I think everyone will enjoy it.
And I look forward to purchasing your book so I can read more. It sounds so interesting.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate having been with you. Your questions were well-placed, and I appreciate your interest in the show.
Thank you so much, Vincent Falcone. Appreciate
it. Yes, sir. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And remember, some of our listeners are going out there to meet Bob and Vincent.
They're
going
to like it.
Because they won tickets, remember?
They are the nicest. I mean, backstage there or... You know, right after the show was just a complete joy. I mean, they were just so engaged in the conversation.
And it wasn't even backstage. It was in front of the stage.
In front of the stage.
And it
actually was
so cool because there was this Italian guy looking like almost like a little mobstery. And then Vincent's wife, or no, Bob Anderson's wife said, "Oh, don't worry, we'll close the place down." And they sent all the employees out and they closed the theater. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
It was just like you were part of the group.
Very welcoming atmosphere.
This is the Doors. I love
that. Yes. Oh, again, from Deliver Us From Evil, Frozen's good buddy Joel McHale. Yes. And he thinks I'm strange.
We all do.
Yes.
No, we don't. Well, does Greg think you're strange?
A little. And, of course, The Lost Boys.
Yes, yeah. But it was done by Echo and the Bunnymen.
Kiefer.
Whatever his name is.
It's with an
Kiefer.
F.
Rhymes with reefer.
Oh.
Tommy Chong. This is...
That should make it easy for you.
Yeah. People Are Strange by the Doors from Deliver Us From Evil. Breakthrough Entertainment. Songs Made Scary by Horror Movies 4.
On 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.